Welcome to our Roots Say That We're Sisters podcast. This podcast series is sponsored by the Marquette Forum with support from Marquette University's Office of Institutional Diversity and Inclusion and the Hagerty Museum of Art. It's an extension of a Marquette University mural project to highlight and uplift diverse women-identified individuals whose images and contributions have been systematically made invisible. The artist, Mauricio Ramirez, used photographs of BIPOC women associated with Marquette as inspiration for the images in the mural. The Our Roots Say That We're Sisters podcast preserves the stories of female-identifying students, faculty, staff, and alumni who've used their gifts to make a meaningful impact on others, especially those who remain unsung heroes. I'm your host, Sheena Carey, from the Diedrich College of Communication. Joining us today is Dr. Abiola Keller, Associate Professor in the College of Nursing. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
What's the story you'd like to share with us today?
You know, my story is one that is so intimately tied with Marquette. You know, I'm proud to be a Marquette alum and proud to be on faculty. And so it's this story of, you know, Marquette is such a big part of my life. And so this opportunity to share that and how my Jesuit education has transformed who I am, the work that I do both in and out of the classroom and in the communities.
So how do you identify, Abiola?
You know, that's an interesting question. I think when people look at me, the perception is that I'm African-American, but I actually identify as Nigerian-American. So I was born in Nigeria, moved to the United States when I was six. So, but home for me is where my family is, and the majority of my family still resides in Nigeria. So that's my home, and that's who I am.
Okay, I'm wondering, what would the distinction be? Because you truly are African-American, I mean, in the truest sense of the word. How do you distinguish that for yourself in terms of that Nigerian identity?
Yeah, so for me, the Nigerian part speaks to the level of expectations and the possibilities. I have been fortunate to be raised in an extended family where the sky is the limit of what you can accomplish. I come from a family where being a physician, being a PhD, is normative. And so growing up, I didn't think, there was never a day that I did not think I could do whatever I wanted to do. And I recognize that that's not the same for many students and other individuals. So that's a privilege that I have. And so for me, that speaks to who I am and what I can be in this world.
So how has that identity informed the ways in which you've navigated this predominantly white institution called Marquette University?
I think it's given me strength. So I grew up in predominantly white spaces. So when I was 9 years old, my family relocated to Stevens Point, Wisconsin, which is a predominantly white town in central Wisconsin. And we were one of few, there's a few African-American families and a few African families. But navigating that space prepared me very well for Marquette University. So, you know, I started at Marquette in 1997. It was challenging, right? It's a challenging dichotomy because I came from a predominantly white environment, so I felt comfortable in that space. But on the outside, I was African-American, but my lived experience didn't necessarily resonate with the lived experience of a lot of the African-American students on campus at that time. But my drive to be better, my drive to advance my education, my drive to do good in the world was what kept me going. And I will say, you know, I was fortunate. I met great mentors on campus who, there were hard days. And there were days when transferring to another institution felt like the easy thing to do. But there were people who reminded me of why I was there and what I could do. So I think having a family that, despite obstacles, we will persevere, we will overcome, that helped. You know, when I talked to my cousins, most of them were also at predominantly white institutions. And so that was just our path. And that was what it was going to take for excellence. And so that's what we would do. I'm grateful to my parents because I grew up knowing that the path was not going to be a paved path. It was not going to be smooth. There were going to be divots. There were going to be mountains that you had to climb, but it was a path worth taking and a path where eventually I would get to where I needed to be.
Okay, I'm going to violate rules of interviewing and I'm going to give you a complex question. No, really, you talked about path. And the question I have for you is, number one, what set you on the path that you have taken? And the complex part of it is, why did you feel that Marquette was going to be the place to begin that, or at least to begin that journey?
Yes, that's so. Don't judge me on my response, but Marquette first came to my worldview when I was probably middle school. I come from an athletic family. Basketball is a big part of our world, and we were watching a basketball game. And we were watching, it was a Marquette basketball game. And I was like, they're pretty good. I don't know anything about this school. And I think they must have played a commercial or something. I was like, all right, I could do that. And at the time, I was so interested in sports. And physical therapy was what was driving me. And at the time, Marquette had the direct admit PT program. And I said, yep, that's what I'm going to do. You know, I knew I wanted to be a physical therapist. I wanted to go to a highly ranked school. And so I was like, I'm going to go to Marquette. Now, mind you, I had no idea how expensive Marquette was going to be. And what my parents said was, education was so highly valued that even though I don't know how my parents did it, but for my brothers and I, they had the capacity to fund us to go to a state school. So my dad said to me, he's like, that's a great dream. We support it. But what we can financially support is for you to go to a state school for 4 years. Anything above that, you're going to have to figure it out, whether it's scholarships or whatever. Now, I think my dad knew I love a challenge. So I was like, all right. So I still kept Marquette on it, but I was a realist. I was like, all right, so Madison is where it's going to be. And I applied to Marquette. I was admitted. I was admitted to Madison. And there was this scholarship at Marquette. It was the Burke Scholarship. And it was a full tuition. At the time, it was a full ride. It was tuition, room and boards, books. And it was, I think at the time, it was five students out of the state of Wisconsin. And I remember thinking, that's a long shot. And I wasn't going to apply. And I kind of said, I don't think I could do that. And God bless my mother, because 2 days before that application was due, my mom came up to my high school, went into the guidance office and said, Mrs. Meyerhofer was my guidance counselor. And that woman hustled for money for her students. And my mom told her about this and she said, oh yeah, we're going to do this. So I got pulled out of class, sat with Mrs. Meyerhofer. I wrote the essay. Mrs. Meyerhofer wrote my letter of recommendation and we submitted it. And I was like, we just wasted all that whole day. Like, this ain't going to happen. And then I got a call inviting me to come to for an interview. And I was like, okay. And I remember I was so nervous at the interview. I laughed through that entire interview, but they must have liked it because I was selected to be a Burke Scholar. And that was a game changer for me for a couple of reasons. One, it brought me to Marquette. So I now was at, a top institution, and I didn't have any financial obligations, but also being a Burke Scholar. So the scholarship is based on academic excellence, service, and leadership. And I had done leadership and I've done service, but I didn't really understand how they came together. But being a Burke Scholar, one, it gave me an anchor at Marquette. And so I had a space where people saw me for who I was, not just the color of my skin. But it also connected me to faculty and staff who were committed to my transformation and my ability to achieve my dreams. And so I went through a lot of different paths, careers, but ultimately, obviously, did not become a physical therapist. But that the experience of getting to know the city of Milwaukee through the Burke Scholarship and understanding how health and wealth were related, I mean, that was what drove me to do the work I do, which is health equity research and trying to make Milwaukee a better place and being a catalyst for change, both on our campus at Marquette, but also in the city of Milwaukee.
So the Burke Scholarship is designed for students who are interested in the health professions?
No, it is open to any student in the state of Wisconsin who's admitted to Marquette in any field. And actually, it works best when you have students from different disciplines who can actually engage in these social justice issues and interrogate it together and push each other to be the difference.
Okay. All right. To look into that a little bit more. So when you think about the mural project itself, what are the ways in which it resonates for you?
You know, I can't walk by it without and not smile because, you know, when I was a student, we had nothing like that on this campus. And, you know, this idea of being unseen is something that, you know, really resonated with me in my 4 years at Marquette. And even, you know, this is my 10th year on faculty at Marquette. And this idea of doing the work, both as a student and as a faculty member, and people not really seeing it, or they see you, but the surface level of you, or they see you, but it's really easy to ignore. And you can't ignore the mural. And so you see that it takes these diverse perspectives and diverse stories to make our institution as great as it is. And I love the roots because I think about roots as anchoring. And if you have strong roots, winds will come, but they're not going to sway you. And I think that's what the diversity on campus brings to our institution. It really anchors us in who we are and it keeps us strong.
Do you think the university recognizes the power in that?
I would say, I think you have to look at university as in different components. Our Jesuit mission absolutely recognizes that. Do the day-to-day activities that happen on campus recognize that? I don't think so. And I think that's what it means to be in the fight, right? There's no end point to this. This is something that we have to fight for every single day. And that means our students are fighting for it, our faculty, our staff, our leadership team on campus. And so it's not something that comes naturally, but it's something we have to fight for. And we have to recognize the value that the strength of our institution rests in this. And without it, our institution will fall.
What would you say would be Marquette's or has been Marquette's impact on women of color here on campus?
I think it's a complicated one. I think there's definitely examples where women of color have had the opportunity to make change and move the institution closer to its mission. But I think it's also one of any institution where the voices of women of color, the experiences have been silenced or have not been acknowledged, or women have been, you know, women of color have been passed over, their ideas have been taken and used in ways that without their consent to do other things, or people have advanced their own career on the backs of the work of women of color. But that's not unique to the institution that we live in. And I think, you know, I teach an undergraduate course where we talk about these things and this, the institutional racism and sexism that exists. You know, Dr. Kamara Jones has this great analogy that I use with my students that all of these isms are a moving walkway. And so if we're just standing on it, even if we don't feel like we're contributing to the racism, sexism, ageism, any of these isms that happen, if we're just standing there, we are moving towards it. And so if our wish is to actually be against it, there has to be some action. We have to be walking the other way. And that's what I think that Marquette needs to lean into a little bit more in both our institutional policies and the way that we regard our students and our expectations for our students, is that to be anti-racism, anti-sexism, there has to be some action.
That's an interesting visual that you set up, because all I can think of is going what would be considered the wrong way on a walking sidewalk, and you make a few steps forward, but then you get pulled back. And that seems to be the challenge that institutions like Marquette are facing. There is that attempt sometimes to do that, but then you still get pulled back some.
Yeah. And there is, change is never easy, right? And there are people who are comfortable with the way things are, but our mission requires that we are constantly fighting for the voices of those that have been ignored.
Now, based on some of the things that you said about your family, it seems pretty easy to say that you came to Marquette with a strong sense of self, a strong sense of self-worth. What are some of the ways in which Marquette has helped affirm that sense?
Yeah, you know, as otherwise? A student, as a student, you know, I think my experience being a Burke Scholar really did affirm that, right? So, you know, I had the good fortune of being a Burke Scholar. So the Burke Scholarship was started and founded by Dick Burke, who was the owner of Trek Bicycle. And so he was still alive when I was a Burke Scholar. And so he would come to our seminars. And so for me, having someone who had clearly more important things to do than hang out with some undergraduate students, but took the time to be part of our journey at Marquette, you know, that instilled a great sense of worth in me. Like I had something important to share. And, you know, I think he would always tell us that, you know, it's hard to not be so grateful for, you know, 4 years of your education being funded by an individual. But he always said this is an investment. And he was making investments in people to come back and stay in Milwaukee and make change. And that's when I think about my decisions, that's what I think about is, you know, someone believed in me so much that they funded my education because they knew that I could make a difference. And so being at Marquette in that experience definitely gave me this idea that I can be the difference. And I think that's the power of Jesuit education, is that we can challenge our students to be the difference. And for me, I left Marquette for some time, right? So after graduating with my undergraduate degree, I did a master's of physician assistant studies at the University of Iowa, practiced clinically for a while. And again, that drive to understand why are some people healthy and some people not, and how that tracks with different social identities drew me back to school. And I did my master's of public health and PhD in population health at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. But always thinking that I would return to Milwaukee. And if you know, talking with my mentors at Madison, I think their intention was I was going to launch elsewhere in the country and, you know, and go do great things elsewhere. But I was very honest that Milwaukee was where I needed to be. And, you know, if I was going to do health equity work, there's nowhere else I would do it besides Milwaukee. And part of the return, you know, my story of returning to Marquette was to be visible for our women of color, particularly because I was an undergraduate in the College of Health Sciences. I can't recall ever having an instructor that looked like me. And I, at the time, I don't think I knew what that meant or how not having that impacted me until I returned and now have students in my class who, you know, social identities, at least on the surface, align with mine, and what that connection allows them to see as possible. Because I had that in my family, right? I knew what was possible in my family, and so the opportunity to be on campus, and now the opportunity to be visible and vocal on campus, to speak on behalf of our students, I mean, that's a huge privilege. And I like to think that that's part of what Dick was talking about when I was an undergraduate in terms of investing in me so that I could make change.
So what women of color have been inspirational for you?
Oh, I start, you know, my mom. I mean, my mom comes from a very close-knit family in Nigeria. And I, now that, you know, I have my own kids, I can't imagine what that was like for her to get on a plane with her 3 kids and leave everything that she knew behind. And she will say that, you know, we came to the United States because my dad was doing his PhD at the University of Minnesota, and it was supposed to be for a few years. My dad would finish his PhD and we would return back home. We arrived in the United States in 1986. I think we stayed a little longer than my mom imagined. But I still, you know, so her strength and her belief in her faith that this was the right path for our family, to leave everything and just say, we're moving forward in faith that everything will be fine. So, I mean, she's my pillar. She's my anchor in how to be present for my family and advance my own career as she has done while, you know, raising kids. I have so many aunties who, whether they're blood or not, who have walked with me, who, you know, they, I always say, you know, they're the people I want to be when I grow up, in terms of what it means to make a difference for your family, but also in the community. So I'm so blessed that I have that. But also I think at Marquette, I would not be where I am without, you know, the support of Janice Welburn, our former Dean of Libraries, who was great counsel to me when I first came and really just helped me navigate. So, you know, that's someone that, you know, I have a lot of gratitude towards. But, you know, thinking about, you know, I mean, you can't think about strong women of color and not talk about, you know, Michelle Obama. And her grace is what I think about. You know, there are, I can't imagine the challenges that, you know, she went through in her journey. But to take the high road, and I remember, you know, just seeing her so poised and despite all the negativity. And I think in academia, to be a woman of color and to succeed, you need that grace and that poise, because there are some days when, you know, the response you want to give is not the response that will advance the agenda or the conversation. And so watching her navigate that on a national stage has been so, has been something I, you know, I've been fortunate to watch. You know, the words of Maya Angelou always brought comfort in dark times. You know, I mean, it's, there are so many women, and I think that's the beauty of the time that we're in now, is there so many women who are doing this work. And I think the authenticity that they're doing with and the transparency of the good, the bad, and the ugly, because the bad and the ugly will happen, but we have to learn how to rise above. Because when we lean into that, we get stuck and we can't move forward. As hard as it, and I think that's the thing I tell the students that come into my office, for those, you know, the door is shut, what's going on? And it's always about, okay, I see that where this is a response you want to give, but how is that going to serve where you need to go? And that's the hard work that I think we have the opportunity to continue to work on at Marquette.
Yeah, I usually encourage students to put, if whatever you want to say, say it to me. So we've got some place to put it.
Put it, yes.
And then let's move on to what's going to be beneficial in this situation. So this year's forum, the theme was around self-care, wellness, healing. How do you experience or practice wellness and healing within the context of Marquette University, just within the context of the life that you're living?
The community. I think that the work that we do is hard work. But when I, as you know, we're approaching commencement, when I sit on that stage and I look at our students and I see the faces that, whether they've been in my office for those moments where, say to me, so we can move forward, or even looking at the faces of the parents, and we see that we're seeing our students of color, because the change that they will make, the most change is going to be as an alum of this institution. So I tell students, yes, we are fighting while you are here because we want you to walk across that stage, because your power increases exponentially when you are an alum of this institution. So that is always a day that's very healing for me, because regardless of the divots in the road, the mountains we had to climb, we got there. And that's, yeah, that's just a moment that I like to take in. In the day-to-day, it's, you know, I'm fortunate that I get to do a lot of community engaged work. So being out and seeing the future of students that will continue, hopefully will continue to come to Marquette and make change, and seeing how the city is slowly but surely transforming, that helps. I'm grounded in my family. So, you know, I'm raising two kiddos, and so seeing the world through their eyes also is healing for me. But I think one of the things that will surprise a lot of people is I'm an introvert. And so time to myself, and I, you know, I like to journal. That's how I process emotions, is beneficial for me. I'm also a faithful person. So I spend time, you know, reading the word and thinking about what is God's path for me. I've been so blessed. There is not, you cannot think about my family story, how we went from, you know, being in Nigeria to the United States. And, you know, I've got two brothers, so two black males in the United States that are, you know, they are professional. You know, my older brother is also an academic at Vanderbilt. My younger brother is a chiropractor with his own practice. So, I mean, that is by God's grace. And so I lean into that, and that also brings me some comfort and healing in these. And, you know, some days when there's challenges and things that I want to say that don't advance the agenda, but I lean into those things.
So what impact do you hope to have on women of color who are coming behind you, who may have gone before you?
Oh, that's a big question, Sheena. You know, I think it's about possibilities. Like I said, I remember when I made the decision to pursue a PhD, and I happened to be talking with some of my aunts and some other members, and there was a male who said, "Oh, that's really hard. Are you sure you want to do that?" And before I could even voice it, my aunt said, "Oh, she'll do it." And so that's what I want to have for, you know, women of color, especially our students, is to see the possibilities. And whether it's not, you know, what I'm doing, but to at least see that there are other paths that are possible. And however I can support them, whether it's, you know, they want to do research in my lab, or they just need a space to be themselves, however I can support that. And even if I never speak to them, but they see me on campus, or, you know, within the work that I'm doing and in service to my college, service to the university and committees, I'm making their life a little bit easier, asking the questions where, because sometimes the unintended consequences of policies are very real. And when you don't have the lived experience, you can't see the other side for what this policy or this procedure we're implementing might do. And so even just to speak to the other side to say, have we considered what this would do? That's the policy. If I can, you know, I just want our students, regardless of their background, to feel that Marquette is their home. You know, I am Marquette, right? Like, this is my alma mater. I'm proud to be a graduate of the institution. I'm proud to work there, but I'm also proud to work to and hold our institution accountable to its mission.
What are your hopes for our future, the future of Marquette, the future of our community?
Cohesion between Marquette and our community. I think it's understanding that we are a part of the community. We are not distinct from it. I want students of, regardless of what grade school, middle school, high school they went to feel at home on our campus, that they, you know, Marquette is part of, they are Marquette as well. Even if they never come to us, I want them to feel at home walking through our campus. I want them to be able to see themselves reflected on our campus. I think we are making progress towards that, but I think at the end of the day, we have to think about what is our relationship? What is our impact? How are we connected to the community? And always thinking about what are our potential to harm the community and minimizing those.
So ultimately, what would you want our community to know about you and your path, the journey that you're taking?
What do I want them to know? I think that a lot of people in the community are often surprised that I'm a graduate of Marquette University. And so I want people to know that I'm proud to have graduated from the institution. And I think that my approach to the world is so influenced by my Jesuit education. So while the single story of Marquette University and what a Marquette student looks like, I may not align with that, but I still am a Marquette graduate. And I want people to know that there are people who are working in the community who are part of Marquette, and that there is space for us to coexist together.
Thank you so much for sharing your story with us today, Abiola Keller. It's been great talking to you.
You as well. Thank you so much.
Your story stands as a testament to the amazing stories in our community yet to be uncovered. Our Roots Say That We're Sisters podcast and the Mural Project seek to make these stories visible. Again, thanks to our sponsor, the Marquette Forum, Marquette's Office of Institutional Diversity and Inclusion, and the Hagerty Museum of Art for your support for this project.